Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc. Monday, May the 6th, Ian Cameron, Brett Skalski, our Monday guest, and a surprise bonus guest here on the show. Just said, oh, I'm available today to join on the show, and he is here again, our friend from Sweden, Eric Della Rose, back on the Ice Guys show. Brett, we'll start with you. How are things? How was the weekend?
Things are good. Weekend was good, minus the weather here. It's raining all weekend, but good weekend, a lot of good hockey. I was two really good games with Boston, Toronto, and last night with Dallas, Vegas. So I was happy to see Dallas win it. I think, like you said, we all were, but really looking forward to getting the second round going. The how about that Rangers Carolina game, huh? Offensive explosion. I wasn't quite ready for that offensive explosion. I think it'll slow down, but exciting game nonetheless.
Yeah, it sure was. There's no doubt. We'll recap yesterday's action, of course, in just a moment. But Eric is back with us, too. Eric, how was the weekend? How are you enjoying the hockey? I also want to ask, not just how are you enjoying the playoffs and watching it there, how are you coping with how late it is, obviously, over there when a lot of these games start? Not to mention, you got a kid and a wife and a family. So, I mean, trying to watch these games, I got to admit, it's got to be difficult sometimes, right?
Yeah, I'm not watching every game live, but it's a little bit more easy in the weekend. So this weekend I had the opportunity to watch some games, so that was really nice. I watched the Rangers game yesterday. Like Brett said, it was a little bit of a surprise the first period there, and played like a total of 20-30 seconds of power play and scored two goals. So yeah, the Rangers looked really good, actually.
Are you planning on following and watching and betting the World Hockey Championship coming up, Eric? I'll ask you that now. It's because I know that's starting this week.
Yeah, I think I will follow that. Sweden has a pretty good team this year as well, so it's going to be exciting. I think a lot of players are coming because it's in Czech. Prague and Ostrava is pretty nice cities to go to with the family, and also to get to know like the new Swedish coach before the World Cup next year. So it's going to be exciting to watch that team. And I think Canada looks, they always are good, but not maybe the most profiled players on that team, but I think they still have a chance. And yeah.
Well, they're going to be high-profile players that are on this Canada team for the future, that is, because they do
have
Bedard,
yeah,
and they do have, of course, Macklin Celebrini, who are going to play.
A lot of young players, but I don't think we'll see a lot of these players in the World Cup team during next season. For sure, it's going to be fun. I'm also going to go down to Prague for a weekend and watch some games. So,
oh, really?
It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, you're definitely going to be involved in it. Well, there we go. If Eric's back with us on the show during any day where there's World Hockey Championship games going on, we'll do a little World Hockey Championship betting preview. We'll go around the horn and we'll get the because I'm going to be definitely be betting on it a little bit, and certainly be watching it as well. So looking forward to that. That starts later this week. We just want to make some announcements first before we get into yesterday's recap, BetCast related. As you guys know, our next BetCast is tomorrow night. It's our first BetCast of the second round, and it's free for all. This one is not going to be Patreon only. This one is free for all. It's available to everybody who wants to join us on this BetCast tomorrow night. So there it is, May the 7th. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time is when it begins. So make sure you join us. We're looking forward to it, no question. The Ice Guys NHL live bet, Stanley Cup playoffs live betcast. And again, tomorrow night, May the 7th, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We now know which games that we're going to have on the betcast tomorrow night. It's going to be game two between the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by game one between the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night. So we're looking forward to that. Tuesday night, May the 7th, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So again, if you want to join us for that BetCast, make sure you DM or email me or Alex for a spot on the BetCast, and we will make sure that we send you the link for the BetCast before it begins. So again, tomorrow night, Tuesday, May 7th, 7 p.m. Eastern time, first, second round BetCast. And the other announcement I want to make is we are going to have two BetCasts next week. So this is the only BetCast this week, Tuesday, May 7th. And then next week, we are going to have two more BetCasts in the second round. Both of these BetCasts, by the way, next week will be Patreon exclusive. So just make sure you are aware of that. Tuesday, May the 14th and Thursday, May the 16th. Next week. So two more BetCasts. There it is, the updated schedule. So Tuesday, May 7th, tomorrow night, and then two additional BetCasts, May the 14th, May the 16th, next week. Both of those will be Patreon exclusive. And all three of these BetCasts are, we've scheduled it so that each series in the second round will be featured at least once in one of these three BetCasts. So, you know, for instance, we're going to have Colorado, Dallas, Carolina, New York Rangers tomorrow night. Next week, we're going to have Vancouver, Edmonton on one night, Boston, Florida on one night. And we're going to also have, so we're going to have everything, you know, at least once in one of these three BetCasts. So give every series some BetCast time, if you will. So that's the schedule. May 7th, tomorrow night, free for all. And then two Patreon exclusive live BetCasts next week, Tuesday, May 14th. Thursday, May 16th. They all start at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So definitely looking forward to that. All right. Actually, even before we get into yesterday's recap, we do have some news. Rick Bowness retiring as head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. Great career. He got to three Stanley Cup finals, two as an assistant, one as a head coach. And just close, but couldn't win the big one, you could say, but still a really good career. You know, 30 years in coaching. In the National Hockey League. I remember when he started as the first head coach of the expansion Ottawa Senators with Alexander Day, who turned out to be one of the biggest busts in NHL history, was on that team in the 90s. But a great career for Bones, as he's called. A great run, and we wish him well in his retirement. I understand his decision to retire. He had a lot going on this year in his personal life. He had his own physical complications. He had to undergo emergency surgery. His wife, of course, had a very near-death experience, if you will, where it was looking like, you know, she was on, in a tough situation there and looked like she was touch and go, whether she'd pull through. So with everything that went on, you know, I can understand why he's stepping away from the game. But, you know, outstanding career. All the best to Rick Bowness in his life after hockey. And this opens up another job opening in terms of the head coaching market in the NHL. So it's just, we talked about how already it's such a wild off season coming up and there's so many jobs open for head coaches. And you got to think that maybe Toronto, there's going to be an opening because there's a lot of people seem to think Sheldon Keefe's not going to be coming back. So it is going to be a very busy off season as far as coaching musical chairs, if you will, in the NHL. So that was one bit of news. I'm trying to think what the other one was, but that was definitely the main one with Rick Bowness there. for the Winnipeg Jets retiring. Let's go into yesterday, I should say, because we did have one afternoon game and one night game. The first game was Rangers Hurricanes, and Brett was saying before the show, I did not expect all that offense and all that goal scoring early in the game. I just wish I had expected it more than I did, because kind of after talking about it on the show yesterday with Alex, and he really liked the first period over in that Hurricanes-Rangers game, which was his best bet. Kind of talked me into the first period over and the full game over in that game. I did say, though, before, I wasn't sure game one would be that open as far as goals are concerned. But I did say that's going to be the chance to be a sneakier, higher scoring series than people think. People see Carolina, they think defense. People see, you know, the way they played the last few years, they think low scoring, tight checking hockey. And they know with Shesterkin on the Rangers side that that can be a team that can play low scoring too, when Shesterkin's standing on his head. But I saw it as, look, these are two improved offensive teams this year. The Rangers power play is sensational. And we saw it yesterday. They chewed up and spit out the Carolina penalty kill yesterday. It was just awesome to see. He was the power play, the puck movement was outstanding. Mika Zibanejad, an amazing game. Chris Kreider, outstanding. Those two on the power play, just there were no answers whatsoever for the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday. But credit to Carolina, they battled back. They got it to 3-2. They made it interesting. And then, unfortunately, we've seen this from Frederik Andersen in the past. The back-breaking goal, the back-breaking soft goal that you can't give up. And he gave it up to Artemi Panarin, the bread man, in the third period. He's got to make that save. He's got to have that shot. Goes right through him, makes it 4-2 Rangers. Again, Carolina doesn't go away quietly. They battle back, make it 4-3, and fall short. But great effort by Carolina to battle back. But the Rangers, look, special teams again was the difference in that game. You know, special teams really won that game for the Rangers. Their power play was sensational. We wondered, what's got to give here? Rangers power play, excellent. Kane's penalty kill, excellent. Well, yesterday, Rangers' power play was excellent. Kane's penalty kill, not so excellent. And that was the difference. Essentially, that won the game for the New York Rangers yesterday. And the Kane's own power play didn't come through for them. I thought there was a little bit too passive a mindset offensively from Carolina. Way too much to the outside. I didn't see them get close to the net as much. And that was an issue, I thought, yesterday in that loss for the Hurricanes. But credit to the Rangers. They take game one and win it by a score of 4-3. Brett, what did you think of what we saw there at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I agree with you. It was the special. That one goal Zibanejad scored with the no look behind the back pass from Kreider was really nice. But I agree with you. I thought Carolina looked like Tampa Bay did against Florida. They tried to play that puck possession game with all five players involved offensively. And against the Rangers, they're just hit and pin and disrupting the flow of the offense and keeping them to the outside. So I would expect Brendan Moore to make some adjustments, get more pucks to the net, get more bodies in front of Shesterkin, and then stop taking penalties. How many of those penalties were either dumb or unnecessary?
That's right? Been an issue with Carolina in the past. They have taken a few too many penalties, and they got to rein that in.
So, I mean, yeah, and I think the series is far from over. I was actually looking bit ago to jump in on Carolina with the live series bet. Yes, I wish it was a little bit higher than it was, but we'll see. We might take this game by game.
Yeah, we'll get to it probably more tomorrow when we talk Rangers Hurricanes game two. But yeah, I'm going to put a little, because I didn't bet anything pre-series other than seven game series and also a piece of both teams to win 4-2, 4-3. So maybe I should stop there. Really don't need to add a series unless I really feel strongly, but I'm tempted to look at Carolina at an adjusted series price after game one. Rod Brind'Amour is excellent at adjustments. There's no question he is. So let's see what happens in game two. Again, if the Rangers look great, again, we see a similar type of game to game one. Maybe then we get a little more concerned about Carolina, but you're not ever going to push the panic button in a best of seven series after one game. And I don't think Carolina's doing that. That being said, the one concern I do have is special teams. That was very impressive by the Rangers. Carolina's going to have to at least play it more 50-50 even than get just absolutely destroyed in special teams like that. And the other concern for Carolina is, and we saw it yesterday, they don't have the better goalie in this series. They don't. And that's with all due respect to Frederik Andersen and how he's played since coming back from injury. But everyone that knows a thing about hockey is going to take Igor Shesterkin over him as their goaltender in a Stanley Cup playoff series. That's all there is to it. So he's got to step it up, you know, if he's going to match the guy at the other end. Either that or Rod Brind'Amour is going to make a change himself, although he's not going to do that after one game. No way. It would take more games, more weak goals, more struggles from Freddie Andersen to even consider Pyotr Kochetkov in this series. But the guy is there, and he is very capable, and we like him, Kochetkov. So if the struggles continue for Andersen, maybe down the road in this series we will see a switch in net. But again, we're not at that point yet, probably not after just one game. Eric, what did you think there? Rangers taking game one.
Like Brett said in the beginning, I was a little bit surprised how the game started in the first period. I thought initially I followed Alex's advice on betting over in the first period, but I didn't think that it was going to go that fast. It was not really a sweat to get that in. But overall, I was really impressed by the Rangers. I think they look really good offensively. And I think, like, the big difference for them this year, like having a guy like Roslovic instead of Patrick Kane, not to slander Patrick Kane, he's one of the greatest American players who ever played a game, but I think he's much better fit than, as you can see with Zibanejad, on that position where Kane was standing in the power play last season. I think this is a much better Rangers going into the playoffs than last year. And I think we saw that yesterday. So yeah, I'm gonna keep watching the out for the Rangers. I think they looked really good, and not only because Carolina had an off game, but I think it was Rangers playing really good. And with the like the way Carolina plays that penalty kill, it's really high risk if they don't meet a team that can move the puck as well as Rangers did in those two power plays. Then they're getting smoked. Like they're playing so aggressive, and if they can move the puck really well, like they did yesterday, then they're gonna have these open chances in for sure in front of the net. So maybe some adjustments there as well if they keep moving the puck as well as they did yesterday on those 30-20 seconds. I don't know how much power play they played, but it was not that long.
I want to mention one thing, too, and we talked about yesterday the game went over the total, obviously, with the Hurricanes and Rangers. It went over in the first period, and it went over in the full game yesterday, so the over bifecta hit in that game. I want to mention a key change with the obviously, we're aware that in the last four games, including the last three games of the Islanders series, we have not seen Brett Pesce. Okay, Brett Pesce is injured for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's one of their best shutdown defensemen, one of their best overall defensemen. Like, he's probably right after Slavin, you know, and he's probably comparable with, you know, just how important he is on this hockey team. There's no question. I mean, Shea and he's I would put him defensively ahead of both Brady Shea and Brent Burns, you know, on this hockey team, just in terms of shutdown and blocking shots and being in the right position. He's next in line after Slavin, in my opinion. So he's out due to injury on that blue line, and it is a significant loss. And taking his spot is Tony DeAngelo. Well, Tony DeAngelo is not the defensive defenseman that Brett Pesce is, not close. And Tony DeAngelo is more of an offensive-minded guy. I point that out because with just that one change on the blue line for the Carolina Hurricanes, look what we've suddenly seen from them. You know, they gave up the three goals to the Islanders in the final game of that series, game five. What was more of a up and down type of game. They give up the four goals to the New York Rangers, and their penalty kill struggles in that loss yesterday. There is more defensive vulnerability there in Carolina when you subtract Pesce and you add DeAngelo. In terms of goal prevention, you're not as good. I think so anyway. You're just not as good as a collective. That one switch makes a bit of a difference for Carolina defensively. I think with Pesce in there, 1-6, that's as good a defensive blue line as there is in the NHL. And all of a sudden, you just take that one piece out and you put in a piece that's more offensive driven. and someone that's a little bit less adept in his own end, like D'Angelo, and all of a sudden you see what's happening. You know, this team has given up power play goals now. This team has given up just more chances and more quality. Like, look at what happened in the first goal that's advantage at. Like, how the hell does that breakdown happen to a team like Carolina? You just never see that. So this blue line is adjusting right now without Pesci, and they're gonna have to adjust quickly because now they're down 1-0, and you're playing a much more dynamic offensive hockey team than the New York Islanders with this other New York team, the Rangers. So they're gonna have to iron out this chemistry on the blue line without Pesci, and you're seeing it already in one game just how much they miss Brett Pesci. They got through the Islanders series without him, but it's gonna be a lot different task at hand for the Carolina Hurricanes to get through the Rangers series without Brett Pesci on that blue line for them moving forward. So that's definitely something to monitor moving forward. The other game last night was Game 7, Vegas and Dallas. And to the relief of many of us in the Ice Guys family here, me, Alex B. Smith, both of us invested multiple times in Dallas in the series. We took Dallas before the series. We added Dallas at a great plus price after they were down in 2-1 after Game 3. I waited till they won Game 3 before I bet it. I could have really been bold and say bet it before Game 3 when they were still down 2-0 in the series. But I said, you know what, I want to wait. I want to see if Dallas shows some life in Game 3. They did. They dominated Vegas in Game 3. And that's when I jumped in at a plus price. I'm like, okay, they're back in the series now. They could still win this thing. They've been a great road team. And then, of course, they win Game 4 in Vegas as well, tie up the series, go back home, take a 3-2 series lead. Vegas shows the heart of a champion in Game 6, wins at home to avoid elimination and force a Game 7. But yesterday, last night in that game, I thought, other than I thought things got a little bit wobbly for Dallas late in the second period. When Vegas tied it, they had a great first period, I thought. It was a very tight, cagey first period, but I thought Dallas played well. Who else but Wyatt Johnston? This kid is tremendous. He's outstanding. Like I've said, there's no player I've bet more player props with this season and no player I've won more money this year on player props than Wyatt Johnston for the Dallas Stars. He's been absolutely outstanding. Gets them going with just a bullet shot, beating Aiden Hill in the slot to get a Dallas the 1-0 lead. And look, Vegas made a great push. Eventually, Brett Howden tied it. And look, you're going to look back on that game, believe it or not, and say, what if Jack Eichel doesn't totally miss that backhand opportunity he had? He had Jake Oettinger trying to make one of those paddle of his goal stick saves that he made, obviously, during the regular season. And still, all Eichel has to do is hit the target, elevate it just a little bit, and it's probably 2-1 Vegas. And who knows where this game goes at that moment. If Eichel bears down, finishes on that opportunity, and gives the Golden Knights a 2-1 lead, who the hell knows at that point how this game would have went? Then there's a lot more pressure on Dallas going into the third period, trailing 2-1 at home, but they got away with that. Eichel shanked it, tied at 1 going into the third. And at that time, because I thought Vegas was starting to take over the momentum a little bit, I said in our group chat, we're all sweating out Dallas here, these series bets. We said, they've got to have a big push and pump it up here in the third period, because Vegas had that, grab that momentum a little bit late in the second. And then to see the way Dallas responded in the third, you know, it's almost like I was in that dressing room and they heard me or something. Seriously. I mean, it almost is, because look at how they came out in the third period, Dallas. They took over the game. They dominated the third. They controlled the play. They were in the offensive zone. They get the early goal to go up 2-1, courtesy of Radek Foxa with the backhander, who, of course, rejoined the lineup after being injured the last couple games to make it 2-1. And then the defensive shutdown clinic they put on once they got that 2-1 lead was extraordinary. It was terrific. Jake Oettinger didn't have to do a whole lot. I think he had to make a couple of good saves, nothing spectacular. And just the sticks in the lanes, the sacrifice to block shots, the clearing of the zone when you had the opportunity, hard on pucks, winning board battles, winning one-on-one battles for loose pucks. Dallas did all of that at an A++ level in the third period after they got that 2-1 lead. They played just a tremendous closeout third period in a Game 7 type of situation with a lead. And shout out, too, as well to the crowd, the American Airlines Center crowd in Dallas in the third period. They gave that team all the energy to close that thing out. It was loud. It sounded on television like the roof was going to come off the building. They really gave the Stars a boost with how loud it was in that building down the stretch. And Dallas, you know, a white knuckler third period. You wouldn't have it any other way. They get the job done 2-1. We cash our series bets on Dallas, and they end up advancing to take on the Colorado Avalanche. And the Dallas Stars go from one tremendous, thrilling series, very tight, very competitive series, could have went either way, very little margin between the Golden Knights and the Stars, right into another one that could be very much the same against the Colorado Avalanche. Another series that has potential to be absolutely phenomenal, which, and it'll start, of course, tomorrow night. Great job by Dallas to persevere. That's now 8-0 in game sevens now for Peter DeBoer, the head coach of the Dallas Stars. He's the new Mr. Game 7 now. Justin Williams is retired from the NHL. 8-0 in game sevens now for Peter DeBoer. And just everyone, Tanev might have been the difference at Cuban. That's true. Tanev was awesome. Tanev was killing plays in the defensive zone over and over again last night. And you wonder why Dallas is able to shut it down and bring a game like that home to the win column. Christopher Tanev, and getting him at the trade deadline is a big reason why. There is no question. So great job by Dallas. They don't have a lot of turnaround time to exhale because they start with Colorado on Tuesday night. But just an outstanding job. We're all happy. The futures are still alive. The series bets cash. And it was great to see that. And by the way, with these game sevens, and I was talking about this with Eric before the show, in sports betting, you've got to evolve. Because sometimes if you don't evolve, you're left behind and you end up losing more than you want to. You have to evolve. You have to be able to tweak and change your strategy, change your philosophy, change the way you go about it, your approach, and your betting style sometimes. And I've done that here in the game sevens. And it worked out and paid off huge for me with these same game parlay bets in game sevens. Getting the odds in our favor, pairing it with a shots on goal player prop candidate, and look how it turned out. Go back to Toronto-Boston game seven. We had Boston plus 2.5, under 6.5, and Pasta over shots on goal 2.5 in the same game parlay at like minus 120. And look how easy it was. He went over his shots on goal pretty easily. Boston plus 2.5 was never a sweat. Under 6.5 was never a sweat. Toronto, same thing. I had Leafs plus 2.5 in that game seven with under 6.5. And William Nylander over shots on goal. Never had to sweat it. Easy same game parlay win. Last night, Dallas-Vegas, we had Vegas plus 2.5, under 6.5, Jack Eichel over shots at 2.5. Again, all three, didn't even have to sweat it. Didn't even have to sweat when I was watching that. And then the Dallas one was Dallas plus 2.5, under 6.5, and Wyatt Johnston over 2.5 shots on goal. And I even had a safer one with Wyatt Johnston over 1.5 shots on goal to go with under 6.5 for the game and Dallas plus 2.5. Again, they were easy wins. And then, by the way, Nicholas Nevalainen, our friend from Finland, has got to get some credit for me going in this route because he's the one that gave me the idea. He's the one that suggested Saturday to me, what do you think of this, Ian? Boston plus 2.5, under 6.5, and David Pastrnak over 2.5 shots on goal. And right away, I'm like, holy shit, that's a great fucking bet right there. I like it. And that's got me thinking, maybe I'm going to go this route a lot in game sevens. Because as much as you know it's going to be tight checking and low scoring, you're not always happy betting an under 5 or 5.5. You get that shit up to 6.5, you know, you feel a lot better, more confident, and you got more wiggle room. Same thing with Boston plus 2, all those plus 2.5 goals bets. Boston, Toronto, Vegas, Dallas. You figure these game sevens, they're going to be low scoring, and whoever wins, doesn't matter who wins, right? It's going to be a one goal or a two goal win, you know, or margin of victory. So, you know, this is something I'm going to be using moving forward, this game seven betting style, because it really, really worked out well in the two game sevens that we saw this past weekend. But Brett, your thoughts on Dallas winning, beating the Vegas Golden Knights, and moving on?
I was very happy with it, having a ticket on Dallas like you guys did. I thought in that game, it was clear who the deeper team was, right? Because Vegas is just relying, it's seemingly just Eichel driving all the offense pretty much, where you look at Dallas and it's just line after line after line is contributing. They don't have to overplay anyone. They're just rolling all four lines, and all four lines are generating offense, contributing, right? I mean, Foxa was the one, he's got the least ice time on the Dallas team, and he's got the game-winning goal. So it was just really evident how top heavy Vegas was, I thought. And I thought Ottinger was phenomenal, especially late in the game when Vegas is making that push and they're just chucking all their bodies in front of the net and he's tracking that puck through all the traffic.
And not letting any rebounds out.
Yeah, getting the whistles.
Yep.
Getting the whistles. Yep. And just leading to offensive or D-zone face-off wins, clearing pucks out. I thought Ottinger was unbelievable in that game. So I think, like you said, big challenge ahead of him with Colorado. I like Dallas. I have a ticket on them for the Cup to get to the Cup final. So I'm going to be riding that. But I think that's another matchup where Colorado is so top-heavy that the depth of Dallas's D could take over that series.
He's going to become Mr. Game 7 too, Jake Ottinger. Now, he's only played in three, and he's only 2-1. He did lose one, but the one he lost was that Calgary series where he did everything humanly possible. I mean, what did he have, like 70, 80 saves in that game or 60 saves? I mean, it was just incredible. But, yeah, he has brought his best in these penultimate Game 7s already in his young goaltending career. So that's definitely what you want to see. How many saves did he have in that Calgary one? It was absolutely nuts how many he had. He had a bunch of them. But 2-1 for him in Game 7s, and the one he lost, he played awesome, and he's the only reason it got to overtime that night against the Calgary Flames. Eric, Dallas advancing, a great series. And, by the way, I want to mention one thing about Vegas. I know we all have been frustrated with them and the tactics they employed and LTIR business and that. But again, they had the ability to do it. We shouldn't be yelling at them and pissed at them. We should be pissed at the NHL for allowing that. And, you know, for their tactics, unfortunately for them, did not pay off this time around. You know, they weren't able to get the job done. They didn't have enough, I think, offensive contributions. You know what? There's a lot of disappointing. Marchessault was quiet in the series. William Karlsson's been such a huge component in their playoff runs in the past, including the run to the Cup last year. He had a very quiet series. So, you know, there was just not enough. Petrangelo looked like, I don't want to say declined because I think he was not 100% healthy, but that's about as, you know, weak a series as I've seen Alex Petrangelo play on the blue line. And this is a guy that's been, you know, a rock on defense for years. So there were too many issues here for Vegas to overcome. Aiden Hill was just not the same Aiden Hill he was last year. And look, Dallas, I think for a change, Dallas had the greater depth in this series than Vegas. And Dallas's depth players were better than Vegas's depth players. I think that needs to be pointed out as well. Look at last night. Fox scores the game winner. What did you get from the fourth line of Vegas in this series? Nothing. Bubkus. That's what. Eric, thoughts on Dallas? Moving on.
Yeah, like everybody in the whole world, really happy. But yeah.
Outside of Southern Nevada.
Yes. Yeah, outside of the people living in the Sin City. But yeah, really solid Game 7 by Dallas. And like you both guys said, I think they showed like what their strength is in the Game 7 and the whole series is the depth of that team. They maybe don't have this like high highs like Colorado is going to have with McKinnon and McCarr, Rantanen, and maybe those guys, but are like better than any guys on the Dallas team, but individually. But I think Dallas is really solid through like the whole team, and that really paid off for them in this series. And when Vegas guys didn't really show up, the guys that were great last year when they won, then they couldn't beat the Stars. So yeah, really happy and really excited for the next series. I think this was the best series of the first round for sure. Two really good teams. So it was fun to have that in the first round.
Yeah, it was a great series. Absolutely awesome. I thought start to finish, it was such a small margin between the two teams. So it was a great series. And Dallas goes from that to Colorado in the second round. So it's going to be another long, hard-fought series. And like you say, they've got to replenish their energy levels quickly because game one for the Avs and Stars begins tomorrow night. All right, Let's turn our attention to tonight. We've got a semifinal, conference semifinal series in the second round getting underway. Game one tonight. But first, before we get to game one specifically, we're going to talk about the series overall here. We've got Boston and Florida, rematch of the first round last year. We all remember what happened. A Boston choke, a Boston collapse, up 3-1 in the series, and they end up losing in 7 to the Florida Panthers. They're looking for redemption, and man, do they have the motivation of the world, Boston, to get these guys back. But will it be enough? That's the big question against this juggernaut Panthers team that is built to win in the playoffs. The Panthers minus 210 series favorites here in this one. I think we all kind of think for Boston, game one is going to be tricky for them tonight. They're off that 7-game series. The worst thing probably that could happen to Boston was that they had a chance to beat the Leafs in 5 games. They ended up having to go the distance, 7 games, go to overtime late on a Saturday night, and now they have to turn around less than 48 hours later and start a brand new series and a game one against a Florida Panthers team, which, by the way, plays a style of hockey that could really do some significant, you know, wear and tear physically on a team that's coming off a 7-game grueling series like the Boston Bruins are against Toronto. So you are concerned about game one potentially tonight for the Bruins. I do like Florida in the series. I just think when you look at this Boston team, look, they needed Swayman to be on it, stand on his head. They needed, obviously, you know, Toronto to be bad for a couple of games in that series. They need, and look, let's not forget Toronto, all the injuries they had in that series. They had Austin Matthews out for a few games. They had William Nylander out for a few games, you know, at the beginning of that series. So look, the Bruins, great job getting through it. But, you know, other than Sam Bennett, this is a fully healthy, and Sam Bennett's probably going to come back at one point in this series, you know, so this is a tall order for Boston. Again, they've got huge motivation, huge chip on their shoulder. This is the team that just ended up last year just ripping their hearts out, coming back from 3-1 down. So we'll see how it goes here. Like I say, game one, I think Florida probably takes it. But like I said, for the series, I like them, but not at minus 210. So for me, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go with a couple of smaller exact series results. I have Florida 4-1, Florida 4-2. In this series, but I have more on Florida 4-2. Okay, I'm not ready to disrespect the Bruins to the level of they're just going to get their ass kicked and they're going to be gone quickly. But I do think it's a terribly difficult matchup. Let's be honest about Boston's center ice position. It was horrible in that series. They won in spite of it. They won in spite of nothing from Zacha or very little from Zacha. They won in spite of Charlie Coyle having a very quiet series. That's not what you want to see. We already see Jim Montgomery shifting Geeky to the center ice spot, hoping for better results, moving Zacha to the wing, hoping that inspires something different. I don't know about that. That center ice position is the biggest concern I have. And we'll get to game one specifically, but they've got a new fourth line center too, and Patrick Brown with Jesper Boqvist out. So that center ice position, you look at that foursome, and you look at what Florida can throw out there, especially with Barkov, Lindell, and with the way Stenlund has played, you know, so far in these playoffs for the Panthers in that third line center spot. Steven Lawrence, by the way, the fourth line center, scored a goal as well in that series win against Tampa Bay. So, you know, you look at that, and it's very tough for the center ice position here for Boston, you know, comparing what they have down the middle to what Florida has. There's no question. So it's going to be a very tricky series. Now, the one thing the Bruins do have going for them is they have a goaltender that is in an absolute zone right now. And I guess the only question would be, is Jeremy Swayman going to stay in that zone against a team that's probably going to rattle his cage more, be in his grill more, be in the blue paint more, pushing? I think you'll see Florida try to bump the goalie a few times. Toronto didn't do that enough. You know, Florida is the kind of team that can very quickly get a red-hot goaltender off their game just because they are relentless. They attack the blue paint. They attack the crease. They try to get, you know, bump the goalie every chance they get. Tkachuk is always in there, you know, and they have a bunch of players that don't mind trying to score those goals in those tough areas. So you know they're going to be playing a Florida team that is going to do everything they can, you know, to rattle Jeremy Swayman's cage and try to throw off a goaltender that was obviously the number one reason why the Boston Bruins beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round in seven games. So that's going to be the big question. If Swayman gets all this traffic in front of him and Florida's being a pain in the neck, which they always are, right in front of the goal area, you know, is it going to throw off Swayman, or can Swayman maintain composure, still find ways to see the puck and end up being able to get the job done? That's going to end up being the question. So I like Florida in the series. Like I said, I'm not betting minus 210, even the -1.5. I don't love the price on it. So I'm going to just go Florida 4-1, Florida 4-2. One of those things hits, it's going to be profit for me. Not to mention, Florida's not sweeping Boston. Okay, Boston, Boston deserves more credit than that. That's not going to happen. Boston is at least going to win a game, maybe even two. I think they're going to win two. I think Florida closes it out in Boston in six. Fitting for the Florida Panthers to close out this series on the road, where with them and Dallas, by far, have the best road record in the NHL. And we know Boston lately has been losing a lot of playoff series on home ice. There's no question. So, like I say, Boston, Florida in five or six. I'm going to say officially it's going to be in six. But like I said, I think it's just too tough of a matchup and too short of a turnaround for the Bruins here going into this game against Florida. And like I said, Florida to me is built to get to a Stanley Cup final again this year. And for all the talk about, the motivation for Boston and revenge for blowing it last year, what, Florida's not motivated? Florida's not motivated to get back to the Stanley Cup final this year after they got so close last year, one step away from winning it all. So, no, motivation's not the issue here in this one. What do you think here in this, Brett? Just overall series thoughts. How are you approaching it with series wagers, if any, here? Bruins, Panthers.
I'm approaching it very similar to how you are. I have Florida exact series 4-2. But then also I have just the series to go exactly six. And I even put a little bit on exactly seven, because if Boston does win the series, it's going to go the full length, I think. So I kind of have a small hedge with myself there on exactly seven. I agree with you that you have to give Boston some credit. They've got the better goaltending overall. Bobrovsky was really good in the first round, but he can drop a clunker here and there too. Right. And Swayman has been locked in. Boston's going to want to slow this game down, similar to how Toronto tried to do with Boston. Boston's going to have to do that to Florida. I think fresh series, fresh start for Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle. I think we'll see them get going a little bit in this series. If you add them a little bit better offensively into the series, it's going to be a closer series than people might imagine. So I'm kind of counting on them to get going a little bit at that center ice position. But I think in the end, depth will win out and Florida will take care of business.
Yeah, it should be interesting here. I'll say this, Jim Montgomery got raked over the coals by Bruins fans for changing the lineup, which was going well for him against Toronto. And then, of course, they lost the two games, game five and game six. And people are still wondering, is Jim Montgomery going to be that guy that's going to be able to make the good adjustments? You know, look, they won game seven, so you got to give him credit for that. But again, you had these weird I don't want to go back to the old what if Joel Wall was in for game seven? It could have been a different outcome. You never know. But the bottom line is he found a way to win a game seven. You got to give him some credit for that. Even though you're right, I agree with the Bruin fan that was upset that they changed the lineup in game five and in game six when a winning lineup got them a 3-1 series lead. That being said, I do like the move he's made here, because he's shifting Zacha to the left wing side, it looks like, on that second line. And I keep going back to something I heard on the eye test with our buddy Jimmy Murphy, with Pierre Maguire, saying that Pavel Zacha early in his career, wing was his more natural position than center. So maybe this is going to be a good move. Maybe this is going to be a move, as you mentioned, Brett, maybe this is a move to get Zacha going, playing now at his more natural position, and Geeky centering that second line spot for the Boston Bruins. We'll see if it works, but the bottom line is wouldn't hurt trying it, you know, at this point, because Zaka's got to have a better series. You're not beating Florida with Zacha having the series he had against Toronto. Here in this one against Florida, a better team. So you've got to get him going somehow. Coyle's got to be a whole lot better. And another thing the Bruins can't have happen they can't be killed in the faceoff circle to the extent they were in multiple games against Toronto. They got away with it because Toronto's just inept to score. They got four forwards making $40 million, and they can't score goals all of a sudden, Toronto. Florida will score those goals if you allow them puck possession to that degree by losing faceoff after losing faceoff after losing faceoff over and over again. So Boston's got to clean up their act in the faceoff circle, because if they get their clocks cleaned in the faceoff dot in this series like they did against Toronto, they won't be living to tell about it in a conference final. What do you think here, Eric? Boston, Florida.
Yeah, for a serious bet here, I picked Florida minus 1.5 game at plus 115. So I think, if you look at Florida's offense, I think it's just so loaded, and I think they're going to I'm not to, like you guys already said, not to disrespect the Boston. They have a really good goalie. But I think if you look at the two lineups, I think Florida is looking much stronger than Boston at the moment. So I think, 4-2, 4-1 is maybe what I'm looking for. So I'm not betting on those exact scores, so I took the minus 1.5 game here.
All right, Eric De La Rose liking Florida minus 1.5 games here when it comes to the overall series. Again, there's a lot of good storylines here. You know, last year and everything that happened, Boston up 3-1, not able to win that series. So this should be fascinating to see how it plays out. But now we will turn our attention to game one specifically here tonight, Bruins and Panthers. It is Florida minus 160 home favorites here in this game. The total currently sitting at 5.5 across the board, shaded to the under here in this game tonight. I'm going to do a small over bifecta tonight, believe it or not. Florida's been off for a while. The Bruins come off that crazy, seven-game series, very emotional, very intense seven-game series against the Leafs. And we're really seeing a pattern now. We really are. You know, game five, games, and especially game six and then game seven, tight as a drum, blocking shots left and right, every area and inch of the ice contested because the games are so important. And we've seen unders late in the series, especially game sixes and especially game sevens. But what are we seeing in the, what did we see in the first round in game one, game two, and what did we see yesterday? Game one with Carolina and the New York Rangers. We saw, sloppy play, especially from teams that were off for a while. And I guess that would be the biggest, if they're worried about one thing about Florida, it is that they've been off for a while. Will they be sharp with the puck on their stick, in the early going of this game in particular? And that's maybe where Boston could get them early, but I think they settle in quickly and get their legs under them. But one thing I know here about these game ones is that, especially when you're talking about Boston with that exhausting game seven, all the effort spent defensively, they're not going to be in that same mindset of, whoa, now our backs are against the wall here in game one. Nobody's back is against the wall in a game one. So I expect more of a open game. I don't know how much open, because Florida doesn't usually like playing that way. But, I definitely think we're going to see a little bit more of an open game. And look, you can't argue with what we saw yesterday in the first game one of the second round, where you saw it was very open. There was a lot of open ice. There was a lot of breakdowns defensively on both sides, Hurricanes and the Rangers. So I'm going to do over 1.5 first period, over 5.5 full game here with the Bruins and the Panthers tonight. Again, we're starting to notice a little trend here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Overs early in the series, unders later in the series. That's kind of what we're starting to see develop as a little bit of a regular pattern and theme here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, over bifecta it is for me. I like Florida in game one, and I have a unique way of going about it. Florida in regulation, I sprinkled on a little bit here. You can get that around, minus 110, minus 115 or so with the Panthers in regulation. But there's a same game parlay that I really, really like here, and I think it's a better way to go about it here. And it's, again, evolving. We talked about it. You got to do it at this time of year. There's less games, less opportunities, and sometimes you got to go about it in different creative ways. There's a Florida same game parlay that I think, because if you're going to take the money line on its own, it's minus 160, minus 165. You don't like that price on its own. I sure don't like that price on its own, even though I think the Panthers are going to win tonight. But what I do like is the opportunity that we have to get a better price by putting that Florida money line with other things. And I am going to put Florida money line minus 160 to minus 170, depending on the book. That's what range it is. I'm going to put that with a couple of player point props for Florida. And these are two players that have collected at least 1 point in every playoff game so far. In each game against Tampa Bay, both of these guys got on the score sheet with at least 1 point. And those two guys are Matthew Tkachuk and Carter Verhaeghe for the Florida Panthers. So what I have done here is Florida money line, Carter Verhaeghe to get a point, Matthew Tkachuk to get a point, and that is plus 150. I like that one. I think it makes sense. All Florida has to do now is win the game. So I've got that as a same game parlay, Florida money line with Verhaeghe point, Tkachuk point. Again, those two guys have at least 1 point in every game so far in the playoffs, each game in that Tampa Bay series. And then there is another same game parlay that I put together as well in the game tonight between the Bruins and the Panthers. And this one is even more safe. This is Tkachuk to get a point, Verhaeghe to get a point, and the Florida Panthers team total over 1.5. 1.5, that's it. We're not asking Florida to light up the scoreboard tonight. We're asking Florida to get 2 goals for me. That's it. 2 goals. So Tkachuk point, Verhaeghe point, over 1.5 Florida team total, which is minus 105. That's another one that I have in pocket. And then there is one more that I'm also on. I'm on those same two players again, Tkachuk and Verhaeghe, each to get a point. And then this time what I've done is I've looked at the game total here in this game tonight, over 2.5 minus 110. So it's Tkachuk point, Verhaeghe point, over 2.5 goals for the game, for the entire game. Doesn't matter who scores them, for the game, minus 110. So there you go. Three same game parlays connected to Tkachuk getting a point, Verhaeghe getting a point. One of them is connected to Florida money line. One of them is connected to Florida team total over 1.5. And one of them is connected to over 2.5 total goals for the game. And all very reasonable prices. I love all of them. I think I have a chance to sweep them. We're on fire with these same game parlays, with these creative approaches we're going with the last 2 days. So like that quite a bit. Brett, what do you think here? Game one, Boston, Florida.
Yeah, I mean, up until the only two things I was considering laying pregame were the over, which I will now do since I think you've convinced me, and then was going to be Florida puck line. I think, though, that Boston can hang around there. I'd like to see how that lineup works, so I'm not sure if I'm going to pull the trigger on that. I think you kind of not sure what you're going to get out of Boston, right? It could be a letdown spot getting through the game seven against Toronto in overtime, traveling yesterday, playing tonight. And then with Florida not playing for the last week, who knows? It could be real loose in the first period. So maybe it is that over. But I'm kind of more targeting player props for this game. And I've got four guys I'm looking at to get a point. It's going to be Tarasenko, Anton Lundell, and Cool Mint Lusterinen. I like those guys each to get a point tonight. They're all going to be they're all plus money props just to get 1 point. So I like them, and one more player who will be my bargain bin. But so far, I'm looking at just the over and then those couple point props.
All right, good stuff. I'm just looking at something here. Hold on a second. I'm betting all these at Bet365, and I've just realized that over for the where's the actual total here? What the fuck? Over 2.5 is -110 so Tkachuk point, Verhaeghe point over 2.5. Same game parlay at Bet365 is -110. I change it to over 1.5. It's the same damn price. minus 110. What's going on there? You're going to give me another, you're going to give me a chance to say two goals in the game. Well, I guess because 1-2, but it could be 2-0. You never know. I know 1-1, it's got to finish three goals or more, but you know, it could be 2-0. You know, if you really want to be safe, because Bet365 is offering that same price for that SGP minus 110 at over 1.5 instead of over 2.5. So you could even go safer if you want with it. So Tkachuk point, Verhage point, over 1.5 minus 110. So, but anyway, I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, I know a lot of people in the chat are saying, what about Barkov? He's on that centering that top line with Tkachuk and Verhage. Do you want to put it? Well, the thing is, he's had a few games with no points in that Tampa series. He had one game where he had 2 points and another game where he had 3 points. And in between, he had three games without a point. So I'm not as confident throwing him in there. I want, you know, high percentage looks here when it comes to the parameters of that same game parlay. And that's why I targeted Tkachuk and Verhage. These two guys have gotten at least 1 point in every game so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I feel very relatively confident, you know, that we put those two in a parlay, they'll get on the board, they'll each get a point. And then, of course, then you just have to see if Florida wins, if Florida goes over 2.5, and if the game goes over 2.5 for the other elements of it. What do you think here, Eric? How are you approaching this one tonight? Game one, Boston, Florida.
I'm approaching it a little bit like I talked about in the series. I think Florida is going to come out here pretty strong, actually, even if they've been off the ice. I don't think necessarily that is a disadvantage this time, because I think Boston will be a little bit drained from that Toronto series. They had to fight really hard for those the three last games were really tight, and a lot of energy spent there on the top guys, of course. So, and I also think the Boston defenseman hasn't been looking really that good in that series against Toronto. Swayman was really good, but not maybe the defenseman. I think Lindholm obviously had a great game 7 with a goal and a pass. But McAvoy has not been looking too sharp, in my opinion. So, but I'm looking for the over in the first period, and then I'm also going to take Florida in regulation.
All right, there we go.
And for props, I think I'm going to have two goal scorers, anytime goals, and it's Reinhardt and Verhage.
Yeah, Reinhardt on its own to score a goal. Makes all the sense. He's always a threat. By the way, I should point out, even though I've only mentioned Verhage and Tkachuk point same game parlays, I do have individual player props on Verhage to score, Tkachuk to score a goal, Verhage to score a goal, and Reinhardt to score a goal. And I kind of talking me into Lusterinen a little bit. I could see maybe him. Cool Mint Lusterinen, our old friend. Even Brett's picked up on using the nickname. But yeah, great. He might be able to make an impact for Boston. You know, I still want to look at a few props for them. You know, I don't want to make it seem like they're going to get shut out here tonight, because you do think they have the potential. For me, it would be DeBrusk, and maybe you take a shot too that Geeky, I think, continues to work his butt off for this Boston team. In fact, even, you know, when there's so many players that I think need to step it up for the Boston Bruins, I thought Geeky played well. Thought he was noticeable most games in that series. So, you know, I'd still be interested in maybe some props involving him tonight to make an impact, get a point. You know, I'd probably play it safer with the Bruin props and just go with the point props for a lot of their guys, because there is that question mark, just how much offense you're going to get from them. It's a team that did struggle to score goals late in that series against Toronto. So, like I said, probably Geeky worth a look. Maybe can Pasta, you know, carry over that momentum he got scoring the overtime winner in Game 7 into a brand new series. That's another thing that has to happen if Boston's going to make this a series and give themselves a chance to win it. Pasta's got to be – we got to see Pasta Game 7 overtime Pasta way more often than we saw it in that last series, way more often. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out here again tonight with the Bruins and the Panthers. But again, he's going to have a more complete and dominant offensive series start to finish for the Boston Bruins here if they're going to end up taking down the Florida Panthers. And again, we fully expect Swayman and Bobrovsky to be the goaltenders. In fact, it already is confirmed. So there you go. Boston, Florida, game one. Looking forward to it. And again, this is going to be a great watch to see what Boston's got in their system, especially because of the turnaround, finishing late Saturday night, game seven. And now having to turn around and play game one tonight. So interesting what performance they bring to the table tonight. Great stuff. I'll tell you what, the performance that Brett and Eric brought to the table was very good for this Monday slate. Great stuff. Great analysis as always. Hit the like button, everyone watching. And a reminder, BetCast schedule is set for the second round of the playoffs. A free-for-all live BetCast tomorrow night, Tuesday, May 7th. 7 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you join us for it. And then two Patreon exclusive live betcasts in the second round next week, Tuesday, May 14th, Thursday, May 16th. And again, the free for all live betcast tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to it. And a reminder, that one's free for all. But if you want to join us for the Patreon exclusive betcasts, which come your way next week, the only way to tune in and join us on the betcasts for those two next week is to sign up. $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Again, you'll get our daily sides totals and player props posted on the page, goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content. So make sure you sign up, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Ice Guys store. Get your gear and your merch over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Again, that's iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Check out the Ice Guys store. All right, bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors. Boston Amp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. Obviously, we have just one game to choose from. Bruins-Panthers game one tonight. Brett, we'll start with you. What did you find in the bargain bin from this standalone game in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs tonight?
Sure. Well, I'm going to the Florida-Boston game, right? And last year, this player had 8 points in 7 games, 5 goals in their playoff series last year. He had points in games 3 and 4 against Tampa. And in game 5, no points, but recorded 5 shots on goal. I'm going to go with Brandon Montour to find the back of the net tonight at plus 650.
I like that because he actually played well against the Bruins last year. I remember it in the first round. He did. Now, he didn't have a big offensive series against Tampa Bay in the first round, but I do remember last year, first round against Boston, that guy all of a sudden, he's jumping up into the plays, a point-producing machine, he's scoring goals. So I like the approach there, a guy that has had success in the playoffs before against the Boston Bruins. So Brandon Montour, plus 650 at FanDuel for Brett Skalski with his bargain bin special of the night. I think that's not a bad look. What do you think here, Eric? Bargain bin special.
Actually, I had exactly the same bet lined up there. But,
wow.
But I'm going to throw another one out there because I think the power play for Florida didn't look that good against Tampa. But I think maybe they can get it going now with a week of practice. So Montour, a power play point. You can say that instead.
Yeah, that's a plus 335. So absolutely, yep. All right, so Brandon Montour, you like the goal prop, but because Brett's got it, we'll give you power play points here, or power play point, I should say, plus 335 here for Brandon Montour for the Florida Panthers here in this game tonight. My bargain bin special for this game. Let me just see what the prices are, because I do have a few in mind. I actually have one in Boston, for Boston in mind, that I'm very much interested in for bargain bin special. And you know what? I don't mind going at, even though, you know, I've made the case for Florida. You know, I do think they win game one, and I think you'll see them score some goals. I like the first period of full game over in this game too, as you know, because I mentioned it earlier. And I don't think he's going to get completely, Boston's going to get shut out in this game. Florida could be a little sloppy. It's been their first game in a while. I think the Bruins could find some offense tonight, get on the scoreboard a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Bruin for my bargain bin special of the night for this game one. And I am going to go with the guy that is going to be playing center tonight on the second line. And I thought he had chances. He had opportunities. And if I'm not mistaken, this guy scored against Florida when they played in the regular season earlier this year as well. Don't be geeky. Yeah, Morgan Geeky for the Boston Bruins, plus 500 at FanDuel. We're going to roll with Morgan on the second line, centering that line tonight for the Boston Bruins. Plus 500 is great value. I thought he was noticeable throughout that Toronto series. And I know for a fact he scored at least one, if not two, of the games head-to-head against the Florida Panthers this year. So Morgan Geeky for me, Boston Bruins plus 500 at FanDuel for my bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets for game one. We will start with Brett. What do you like for best bet?
I'm going to stick with the player props here, and this time just go with a player prop to get a point. That is going to be Eetu Luostarinen. He's got a point in the last two straight games, 3 of 5 home games versus Boston, and he's now playing on that second line with Lundell and Reinhart. So Eetu Luostarinen just to get a point, plus 150.
All right, there we go. Eetu Cool Mint Luostarinen to get a point for the Florida Panthers for Brett Skalski with his best bet. Eric De La Rose, great job again. We'll get you back on as soon as you can. What do you like for best bet?
My best bet for today is the over 1.5 in the first period.
All right, there it is. Bruins Panthers over 1.5 first period. You can get that at plus money too. Plus 108 at Pinnacle, plus 100 at some other spots. So over 1.5 Boston, Florida first period. Best bet for Eric De La Rose for this Bruins-Panthers game one. My best bet, you know, I really like all the SGPs. I don't like using an SGP as a best bet. I usually like to keep it to straight single bets because you're just never sure if everyone that tunes in and listens can access same-game parlay bets. You just never know. If I knew that for sure, I'd probably make one of the same-game parlay the bets that I have tonight that I mentioned the best bet. But I'm not going to do that. We'll go with one of the single bets, straight bets that I have. And I'm just going to go with the full game over here. The full game portion of the over bifecta. Over 5.5 here tonight. Plus 105 for the Bruins and the Panthers. Like I said, overs early in the series, unders later in the series. That's starting to be the pattern we're seeing here. So I think we can get this to 6 goals tonight. Again, we saw 7 in the game one with the Canes and the Rangers last night. So over 5.5 plus 105, Boston, Florida for my best bet here for game one tonight. All right, that's a wrap. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. Betcast and Daily Show tomorrow. So it's going to be a busy Tuesday. I hope you join us for that. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. For Brett Skalski and Eric De La Rose, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Monday night. Enjoy game one, Boston, Florida. And we will be back tomorrow on Tuesday for another edition of the Ice Guys.